It's only been a week, man. Where have you been?
I don't know. Remember when we were hanging out last week talking about how great Bruce Springsteen and like Moss to Flames and mm-hmm.
And then we got super close to one another, oh, not man. Wearing masks.
We were so close. We should probably open the windows now that we're back in the studio.
Yeah, maybe just air it out.
A really long week. Can you believe
we don't even have the air you don't have the air purifier on right now? It's so gross and disgusting in here.
Can you believe that 15 players from the Baltimore Ravens died just this week alone?
That's quite a bold prediction and or a news story you just read.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, the Broncos didn't have a quarterback. Now they really don't have a quarterback.
Oh, no.
They're all dead.
John Elway.
Owner John Elway came down from the rafters, miraculously saved their season for them, perhaps.
He did the Thanos thing, like, all right, I'll do it myself.
He had the time stone, so he was able to go back to the 1980s.
Right, at his prime.
And actually win a Super Bowl in the 80s.
Adam, did you know
what?
That I had to interview somebody for a new position at work?
Oh, my God. Was that position doggy style or on their back?
Hey, yo!
Oh, hi,
I was
Mom.
Going over his resume.
Oh, his resume.
Can you please explain to me this four-year gap in your employment?
Oh, gap.
He goes on to tell me that you know, that's when I went to Yale. Mm. I was like, oh, wow, I'm really impressed. So, like, I immediately said, wow, you got the job, dude. And he got really excited. He's like, thanks, man. I really need this job.
Yob.
He went to Yale, and he really needs his yob.
So
he went to jail.
Jail.
Adam.
Oh, it was a Mexican joke.
Get it,
man.
You get it.
You haven't done any racial stuff in a long time.
Accents, Adam. Accents.
You're more of an incest kind of guy, but now you went accents full on, and I didn't even get it. I had to like think about it, like Kale Bale,
Christian Bale,
Whale.
Adam, do you want to hear some stats?
Sail.
Whale. I like whale. You want to hear some stats, Adam?
I want to hear some stats because it's the end of the year. This is the most podcasts we've done in a long time.
Apparently. Yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah. But I have some Spotify stats. Everyone's posting their Spotify stats.
Spotify.
I want to remind you that these stats just come from Spotify. Which, according to the analytics that I get on Anchor.fm, that's Anchor.fm for all your podcasting needs. They pay us.
Thank you,
Anchor. Thank you, Anchor.
We can.
Spotify accounts for 23% of our podcast listenership.
So we have to take this number and multiply it by, what is that, 76%?
By 0.7, by 1.76. And that will get our true listenership. On Spotify, in the year 2020, we have 911 listeners.
9/11?
9/11.
What are the odds, huh?
What are the odds?
I love it. Don't get one more.
We grew in the UK
ooh.
By 900%. 400% in Brazil. And our listenership in Spotify grew by 285%. What's so funny? 9/11? Are you still laughing about that?
No, it's all funny.
It's all
funny.
Weird.
Why is Brazil listening to us? They don't even speak English.
It's because we're talking about Amo, dude.
That might be why. All Portuguese. I can think of is what's his name from Street Fighter. He's from Brazil.
Blanca?
Blanca. The big green guy. That's not what everybody in Brazil looks like, right?
Just most.
Okay.
That's really me. I'm sorry, Brazil.
Is it because I watch Rio and Rio 2 with my children so much? Is that why we're picking up a lot of
285% growth in the US?
Nice.
Just in Spotify.
Man.
Our listenership grew by 450%.
Good Lord.
Our number of listeners grew by 254%.
Wow.
Our hours listened to grew by 119%.
Wow.
And
compared to 2019, like this
compared to 2019, because we just started being on Spotify in 2019.
We only did about like 20 something episodes in
2019. And our total content produced was 4,141 minutes long over 36 episodes.
Just wow.
Not including this one and the episode from last week.
Wow.
So thank you, Spotify That's listeners, amazing. For a great year. And thank you not just to Spotify listeners, but to all of our listenership throughout this crazy year. Thank you for spending some time with us. Thank you for taking the time to check us out and listen to our dumb little opinions and our dumb little jokes and validating our existences, because I would definitely would have killed myself a long time ago if it wasn't
you
for you.
You've only mentioned Amo a few times this year.
Enough for Brazil.
400% increase compared to 2019.
The math don't lie. According to Spotify, the math don't lie.
I like you, Spotify.
But yeah, I mean, our listenership has seems to have grown. I see the analytics, like, not every week, but like I check it out pretty regularly. And
Does it count actual downloads of episodes?
Downloads and streams, yeah.
Interesting.
And
but it doesn't tell you how many. It just says we went up by 900%.
Correct.
911%.
But our total listenership on Spotify is 911 listeners. That's the average of like people that stick around every week.
Wow.
Just on Spotify.
That's
a lot higher than like I ever thought. I know. So like, wow.
But I don't want one more. I want to stay here forever.
Everyone, please be as consistent as, even if you're to listen to it, just click on it and just leave it. Put your phone on mute. I don't care. Keep it at 9/11.
If you know a friend who might like this podcast,
don't recommend it to them.
Not on Spotify. They can listen on something else.
Yes. Tell them to listen to it only on Amazon or iTunes or any other podcast service, not on Spotify.
And if you like documentaries that also talk about 9/11, check out a little documentary that I made in 2017.
Oh, no.
About a little band. It might not be very PC in this... in this 2020 world we live in.
It breaks new ground!
But it was a sign of the times.
Yes.
And still only has like 46 views on YouTube.
Oh, no.
But that would be called Adversity AF, the Come On Guys story on YouTube.
Drive-by curious.
Yes. Mm. And while you're at it,
I miss those boys.
Check out some Come On Guys. I know I do often.
I Come On Guys all the time.
I listen... and Come On Guys. I mean, two Come On Guys. I have to listen to Come On Guys. Like, I have to listen to it, and then I can come on guys.
On guys.
Right.
Yes, that makes sense. We'll go with that.
Anyway, I feel like folks, now we're losing numbers.
Oh, no. Okay, we gotta get back to 9/11 by the end of this episode. Folks, the most disappointing, our bottom 10 albums of the year. And that's absolutely true for this year, too, because... if you listen to last week's episode, I went through a 23-minute explanation of how I score my albums.
Right. So we never need to talk about it
again. We don't need to talk about it ever again. So these are actually my bottom 10. These are four scored rating with a rating 4, 3.5, and 3. So 3 is my lowest score of the year.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I love math.
I know. Math makes it easier, right?
Sure.
Now you can go back and finally re-rank your top 100.
Oh my God! Now
through math,
rank though. They're all 10 out of 10s.
That's math. Euclid was right.
Now we got to re-rank. They're all 10 out of 10s, Adam.
Mike,
they're all 10. They're all 10 out of 10s. They're all 10 out of 10s. Starting with Chuck by Sum 41. They're all 10 out of 10s.
Chunk, no Captain Chunk deserves Chunk. A place.
No Captain Chunk.
New album 2021. I can't wait.
You know what I love about these episodes? Yes. You can tell in the beginning that we're stalling. Because we don't want to talk about these albums.
Well, mine are just the bottom 10, except for the last two are truly terrible albums. You know,
we talked about it a little bit last week, but weird year.
Weird year.
Yeah, it's kind of a slow year as far as music releases go. So these aren't like, I'm looking at here, I hate like 3 of these albums.
I expected to like... majority of these albums.
I expected to like, yes, a good amount of these albums.
I'd say
I was really hyped for one of them.
2 I had never heard of prior to this year.
Mm.
But the other 8 I was very hopeful for.
Mm.
And they all let me down.
Mm.
Those 2, like I can't really say like I was like I'm disappointed because they just happen.
You have to have expectations to be disappointed.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So they just happen to not be my thing.
Yeah.
So I can just say that like I guess I am really disappointed this year.
Yeah. So this year's bottom 10, whatever we end up calling this, worst albums of the year, most disappointed albums of the year. For the most part, they're just albums that just were the weakest. We had expectations going into them for some of these, and they let us down. But not a very weak year. I mean, it's been a weak year as far as albums, but like not a, it wasn't hard to make this list.
I'd say my bottom 3 are weak, and that's about it.
I'd say so too for mine as well. So this is, or this bottom is four.
Much better when you only listen to 42 albums in a year.
Yeah.
That's much better.
Yeah.
We should probably stick with this.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your EPs?
Oh, my worst EP of the year, Sforcer, Lifeless.
Mm.
I listened to it because I liked the name. I heard of the name. I heard good things from Dave. It's just not my thing.
Mm. Yeah, they're doing the law dispute kind of thing, the spoken word kind of.
There's six tracks.
Silent Planet kind of thing.
There's six tracks. There's an interlude in the middle. I don't know why. Why do you need an interlude when you do an EP? But they did it, and I wasn't too
impressed. Yeah, it's not even very memorable. I know what you're going for. You're super avant-garde, kind of progressive Australian thing. And it's like, whatever. It is. But, yeah.
Should I jump into my number 10?
You can go first.
All right.
Go for it.
I mean, it's possible. Well, we won't have the same number one. I know that.
Oh, come on. Come on, guys.
Okay, so this album was introduced to me by a guy named Mike that I know.
I'm not a big fan of him.
And he said, Adam, you gotta check this album out because
why would I recommend you a bad album?
And I was like, you know what? I am going to check out this album because I might end up liking it. And you know what? I do like a lot of this album. That's why it's my number 10 least.
It's already out of tune. Oh, okay.
I like this album okay.
I don't know how, but they found me.
I wasn't planning on listening to this. I heard a lot of hype about it. I was really excited going into it, obviously. It's just not my thing so much right now. I feel like big things coming, but it's missing something.
That kind of it factor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I picked a song that I don't really care for, which is the closer here.
It's a weak closer. I'll give you that. It's a weak closer when compared to the rest of the album.
Yes, there's definitely some big standouts. I gave it a 6 out of 12. This is a 50% album.
Not too bad.
That I couldn't bump it above Silverstein. It was right at that verge.
Dang it! Curse you, Shane!
Just because Silverstein just has a little bit more oomph just because of probably being here around longer.
Infinite.
And I like Infinite. I know a lot of people
don't. I don't know why you like Infinite. It's one of the worst songs of the year. Okay.
It's a decent song.
So this is the issues of this year. This is the one that where you're just not feeling it as much. And
right. It's like, right I'm on that cusp of getting over that edge.
You gotta, I think Silverstein is that bar you gotta climb over.
Right. But Dallin Weeks, I know we go back and talk about him when we talked about that little band that he was in before. He added a flair to that band, and now he's doing his own thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't like Brandon Urie very much anymore.
Who would? Especially if you've been sexually harassed by him.
Well, we spent like an hour and a half talking about him and praising him.
This year.
Well, I guess we have to cancel that entire podcast. But
such a timely news story, you know?
But this album is all right.
Yeah.
And you like it more than me.
I love it.
I think, was it Weeds who recommended this?
John Weigel, yeah.
Yes. I know he likes it a lot more, but that's okay.
It's that got good old-fashioned razzmatazz. I love the swagger of that.
I'm glad I listened to it.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it at that.
And this is the band you think and this is the band you think you'll be checking out in the future, though?
Yes, definitely.
Cool.
I don't really want to go listen to their EP that came out before this.
Yeah, I haven't either. And I think there's some songs that are on this that were on there as well.
Okay. Moving forward.
Oh, senor. That's very interesting choice of words, Adam.
Moving
forward. Very interesting that you would choose the word moving.
Moving.
Moving. Oh. movement. It let us down. This is No Good Left to Give, which I think Adam had a very, very poignant comment about that.
They said that sentence and then walked into the studio and wrote this album. Does one not feel that to be the case?
Because,
again, all of the pieces are there.
Yes.
I like his voice. The instrumentation. I like the feel of most
the
of
tone.
The bass on this is really good. The songs are bad.
Not memorable at all. Memorable. They're not strong enough to even make you want to revisit them. It's just kind of there. And for a band like Movements that has kind of been propped up as like excuse me, like the next big thing in emo, the next mm-hmm. big thing in like the scene or whatever. It's like I don't want to, I'm going to set expectations here on a band that I don't know, but like they could have done so much more, and it just feels like they went into the studio and they banged it out for half an hour and then they recorded some music and then, you know, and then we got this album. Well, an album that like we all struggle to even remember songs. We struggle to remember the name of this album. Mm. It's just there, and I guarantee you, going forward, we're gonna forget about this album. We're gonna even forget it came out this year.
Maybe, but their fans seem to be enjoying it.
Where are these fans?
I don't know. All 17 of them out there seem to really enjoy it. And some people think that it's.
We need to go look at their Spotify end of the year list and see where their fans sit for them.
We'll see. So yes, of course. I mean. I was hopeful. I was optimistic for this. It kind of fell flat.
But yeah, that's where it unfortunate. Is. We were looking forward to it too. That's mainly where most of the disappointment comes from.
Sink or Swim, great song.
Sure. I'm gonna have to listen to it again. I don't remember a thing about it.
So my number nine. I enjoyed this album a lot more than in previous. What can I say? I enjoyed this album more than previous albums from this band, but not as much as other previous albums from that band. Does that even make sense? I don't even know anymore.
There's so many bands that could be true for.
So I'm going to try to find the... No, unfortunately, I'm going to have to click on the music video version here. But, okay, I just went... Now, this album is a lot better than... 2017's Rare.
Yes. Hundredth.
And you can say like, hey.
Is that Lord?
I know what this guy is singing about.
You can hear what he says.
I know. This is exactly where they needed to be.
Yes. This is a step in the right direction for Somewhere, Nowhere.
By Hundredth. I mean, I'm still missing the old days, obviously. Change it back, as Mike once said.
Change it back!
But this is where this band is, and I'm assuming they've done well. Like, they seem to be thankful to their fans for allowing them to branch out and go in different directions. It's a 7 out of 14, which is still a 50-50 album.
A 50-50 album.
And I couldn't put it above Razzmatazz, because I thought Razzmatazz was a better, more inventive album.
Mm.
Because the album stays at this tone. But yeah. The hooks are there.
There are literally no ebb and flows in this album. Not even like Rare. Rare at least had ebb and flows.
Did it?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. It had low points. It had quick moments. This one is, I feel like, better written than Rare. And it's way better produced than Rare.
Mm-hmm.
But it does get monotone. And by midway through, you're like more checked out than anything.
Because I thought... When I was re-listening to it, I thought there was only 12 tracks, and then the album kept on going. I was like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, there's 14 tracks.
And then you look down, Jesus. Oh my god, I'm only on track 3.
It's like, I've been here for 45 minutes already. So it's still long.
Yeah.
But this is where they're going. I'm not following them. I'm still going to keep listening. Every time they release an album, I'm going to keep listening to it, even though these last two have been in my bottom 10.
And don't get us wrong, we're not faulting this band for going in a completely different direction. Like, I applaud when bands do that.
Of course.
I definitely do. And I respect the band for when they do that. It's just, I feel like they could be doing so much more with this music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they have a lot. I feel like they're only scratching the surface of what they're capable of. And I want them to go all in. I want them to take like 3 years off and just go for it.
Might as well. Yeah. But they need to make money. Like most artists out.
Yeah. It's hard to take every artist is out of work this year.
It's hard to take 3 years off when you don't tour to support your album.
Yeah. Well, they can
live stream.
They can always do a live stream from a bedroom.
I wonder how these go over live. Well, you've seen them live.
Yes.
And it was good. You and the 8 other people in the crowd.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
Very apologetic.
We're so sorry.
We're so sorry if you were expecting something else.
All right.
I completely understand. I expected this in your bottom 10 as well. Number 9, I'm just going to go ahead and play here, because I don't know if you're familiar with this. This is from the band Picturesque.
Mm.
Do You Feel Okay? This was a recommendation from Daniel. So not the, again, not a bad album. It's just, I I couldn't connect with it. I couldn't. This is the best song on the album by The Necessary. This is the opening track. It's kind of Slaves-ish, just not as, they're not as talented as Slaves, but they're trying to go for that vibe. It just reeks of like, this band reeks of like being like fame chasers. They're just like, we're gonna do this type of music because this is what's popular right now, and like, you could tell this is a band that's gonna go nowhere, and it really. I know so that's harsh. Very harsh and cynical of me, but like, you could tell, dude. You know, like, you can tell when a band's just, this ain't it, chief, you know?
It's not going to get any better or different than
yes,
this.
Yes, there we go.
Right? Yeah, it's the good tiger effect.
It's the good tiger. Yeah, thank you. This is just the middle of the road type of album, and like, I'm sorry, I know Daniel recommended this to me, but like, I wasn't feeling this at all, like, save for this song. This song's pretty decent. And the only reason I chose this song is because when I was going to make my playlist and I went to my YouTube music, I'm like, where's this band? Like, and I realized, oh, I never uploaded it onto my thing. So I went to my phone, who still had this music. It just had the one song. Cause like, oh, that's the only song I liked.
That's all
I got. So it's all I got. So this is what you get. So if you like Picturesque, if there's something else I'm missing, please let me know. Again, that's Do You Feel Okay? And after listening to this album, that's a no.
Like, no, that's I feel okay.
I feel okay. I'm pretty like six. Oh, I'm sorry, four. I gave it a 2 music score because it's literally the same as dozens of other bands, and I gave it a 2 because like I just don't connect with it at all.
Understandable.
You tried, Picturesque. You tried.
I'm sorry you all keep hearing my chair squeak. Hopefully Mike can edit that out, and then edit out the sentence about the chair squeaking.
That's too much work. I'm not doing that.
So this next album, Mike did not listen to because this is not a band that he has much familiarity with. And that's fine. Maybe if you're possibly able to do more deep diving into bands that I like.
You want me to deep dive into your number 8 worst album of the year?
Okay. Well, their previous albums are a lot better. But okay. This was their new album. And this album goes on. And on, and on, and on, and on, for only 10 tracks. So luckily it's only 45 minutes long. Mm. But it's all acoustic, and it's all like this.
I'm already sleepy.
And it sounds like our good old friend Scott Weiland. But it's not Scott Weiland. It's their new lead singer. And this would be Perdida.
Perdida.
By the band Stone Temple Pilots. They released a little acoustic-y album here back in January, and of course I needed to listen to it because I'm an old school STP,
baby.
Old school STP. If Mike does a little deep dive, I'd say you only need to go up to album 4 with this band. Mm-hmm. There's not much to listen to after that.
How many deceased lead singers do they have?
Oh. I forgot about the other one.
Yeah.
But the opening track on this album is really good.
Okay.
Made my best songs of the year list.
That's not this?
Not Sunburst. I had to put on one of the most boring ass songs. Mm. But later STP, like albums 5 and 6, have a lot of this kind of stuff with just Scott Weiland singing it, where you're just like, oh God, is this album ever going to end?
Is this not where their strengths lie?
No. I mean, they can do ballady kind of stuff on their early albums, and it worked out a lot better. Mm. But from album 5 and beyond, this is tough. I mean, the guitar work is great. You can't deny that. It's just...
You mean on tracks that are not this?
I can still enjoy the guitar work on this.
Okay. Because it sounds pretty middle of the road.
Six and a half minutes. And so I'm going to just say... We don't need to listen to this album this year. You can listen to it another year if you get
big
around to
oof.
It. So go ahead and turn it off. Go ahead.
We will
turn
it off.
And move on to the next thing.
I'm gonna go pick up or I'm gonna order pizza. Can you go pick it up in like a half an hour or whenever it's ready in 15, half hour, whatever?
I'll try. Yes.
Okay. I'll let you know. I'll text you the time.
Okay.
So
cool.
You guys have an idea.
Yeah, we can. I can pause it and then. I can pause it whenever you need to leave. And it's...
I know, my parents are here.
And Mike's number
8. All right, so speaking of a band that's been around a little while, You know, they kind of took a little bit of a break back in 2011, something like that. But the lead singer, oh my gosh, he's been doing so much great work. He's been doing project.
Project after project. After
project. And solo album after solo album.
Scott Weiland?
And then, oh, he brought back this project. Oh, the band that he's just so famous for. And wow, what a hype moment it was when we realized that we were getting a new album from this band.
Do it.
I'm so excited. Hit me
with this band. I gotta know.
For Bright Eyes.
Oh, that's right.
Down in the Weeds, where this album belongs. Where the world once was. Conor Oberst doesn't have it anymore, dude.
This is the second year in a row with the Conor Oberst album, right?
Last year, he did a project with Phoebe Bridgers called The Better Oblivion Community Center or something like that. Oh my gosh. That was a snooze fest. I know Daniel really enjoyed it, but I did not. And I thought, like, oh, maybe the missing thing is just getting the boys back in town. The boys are back in town. Bright Eyes, everyone. It turns out it's Conor Oberst.
You know what's funny? On my neighborhood Facebook page,
yeah,
somebody posted on there, did anybody receive a package, not for them? It's the Bright Eyes album that I ordered.
Oh.
And then,
like, on vinyl or something?
Yeah. And then somebody put, no, I didn't receive it, but I love Bright Eyes. And then beneath that, the guy wrote, yeah, but not the new album.
Very, very poignant to this album. Yes, it is. Oh, we're going to talk a lot about music that was just not memorable, that just really missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And
sometimes it's too memorable.
Sometimes it's very, you're right. Sometimes it's very memorable.
You still remember it even though you don't want to.
I'd love to forget some albums the way I forget Down in the Weeds, Where the World Once Was by Bright Eyes. There is a strong song on here, I will give it that, called Mariana Trench. You're not listening to it now because why would I do that?
Right.
Yeah, dude, like, I think it's time for me to hang up, like, Conor Oberst.
It's okay. You've given him a lot of your time.
A lot.
Your for money.
Decades now.
I know. You've given him your soul so much.
And the songwriting, I gotta say, it's gibberish. He's, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I'm not I might be dumb sometimes. I don't fancy myself a dumb guy, but I feel like a fucking idiot when I'm listening to this, because, like, what are you even saying, Conor Oberst?
We'll never know.
I'm turning it off.
Okay, please do.
Thank you.
There's not too much to say about it.
No.
But that's what this episode is all about.
Thank you.
You say what the bad album is, and then you shut up about it.
Yeah, we'll never talk about it again.
Hopefully no more Bright Eyes in Mike's future, right? So this next album was a huge disappointment. I'm pretty sure Mike listened to it. It's so bad that I don't know if you actually did or not now. I think you did. It came out during the peak of the pandemic. The peak of all that craziness. We were like, man, maybe this album will lift our spirits and bring us into a whole new world.
This will bring America together.
And then we listened to it, and we were like, man, remember 2017 was such a good album. But this album's not so good. Some people think this album is really good. But Mike and I are not feeling this album because it is not as good as their previous album, or let alone the album before that. Because I was not in the mood. I was not in the mood for this song or this style of music or anything about this band, let alone this album.
All Time Low with Wake Up Sunshine completely missed the mark.
April of 2020 was not a time I wanted to be listening to anything about Gaskarth having sex with his girlfriend
and still pretending he's a week at a time. A high schooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, this is the follow-up to Last Young Renegade.
Top 10.
Wow. One of the best albums I ever heard.
Exactly. And this is a terrible...
This is a terrible, generic, nothing album.
Mm-hmm. I was going to play the Boys in the Basement, Noise in the Basement, Boys in the Basement song.
That's a bad song, man.
But I was like, I feel like this song sums up more
yes.
about how bad the album is.
It's a poor album that's has nothing to say, has...
But at the same time...
It's just, whatever.
I gave it a 7 out of 15. That's a lot of tracks, by the way.
That's a lot higher than I would have given it.
But yeah, I had originally given it a 5, and I ended up liking a few more songs on it, post-April of 2020, where the world was falling apart.
Mm.
The song Monster, pretty damn good. I like that Black Bear feature on there.
Yeah, Black Bear was everywhere this year, my goodness.
There's a couple other tracks that are pretty good, but this is just, it missed the mark almost 100%.
This ain't it, Chief.
Yep.
Yeah. It's hard talking about some of these albums sometimes, because it's like, you're on this list for a reason, because we have nothing to say about you, you know? Speaking of which, huge letdown. I mean, this is a little after April, but my number 7... This definitely falls into disappointment here. This is probably, no, not my most disappointed, but one of my most disappointing albums of the year. I had a lot of high, high hopes for this one, for a living. Right there. It was right there.
Pedophile.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Please excuse my references. You know, you and I really love this singer. She's a great singer. One of the best. I think one of the best singers of our lifetime, actually. And, you know, when news comes out that, you know, oh, she's back, baby. She's taking a break from making conditioner for children and silly hair dyes.
Ooh.
And I don't know. I think she does finger polish now. I don't know.
Not fingernail polish, but finger polish.
Like you dip your finger. It's like, look, Dad, green. But
very nice, son. Anyway, tell me more about Hayley
Boys
Williams.
Boys can have nail polish too, Adam.
Oh, all right. I guess so.
Good Lord.
Tell me more about Miss Williams, will you?
Let me play the song first. This is the opening track, The Petals for Armor.
Not the track I would have chosen, but anyway.
No, I chose the song for a reason. Because it's weird. It's kind of messy. It doesn't really highlight the strength of Hayley Williams' voice. Nor does much of anything on this 15-track album. It's a very long album. It just kind of drags.
In a weird way to me, it doesn't seem to drag. It goes by fast. It's just not fun to listen to.
I have the exact opposite feeling about it. Like I feel like it's just taking forever.
Because in my brain, I can break it up into sets of 5.
Which is what she did. She, you know, I think she was preparing us.
It's like, okay, well, this second EP is almost over, so the album's almost done.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no, there's 5 more.
I like this one.
This song's fine. I think this is probably one of the strongest songs on this album. But like, I wanted to highlight this song because the listener can hear how weird it is, and it's. I think it's prepping you for the. You know, it's she's. I don't know if I.
Kevin.
But I don't know if I understand what she's going for. And I think
Dave summed it up perfectly back in June when it came out, where he's like, "This is just chick at a coffee shop rock."
This is coffee shop rock. Yeah, you're right.
And she wasn't trying to do anything more than that.
Which is strange, because like Hayley Williams is known for her big, and not that she has to do big and boisterous all the time, but to have your first solo album and for it to be this low energy, this odd, almost fever dreamish, you know, there's odd time signatures and these lyrics that don't make sense. And then this kind of dreams, almost
in the nude, lemon water, something.
and like her music videos, like for some of these singles, are like perfectly sum up like the weirdness of this album too.
Shrooms.
I think she discovered shrooms. I think that's what it is. This is Hayley Williams, the shrooms years. But look, the album art too. Like she just had some. She just ate some. She's like, oh, fuck.
I just gotta paint my fucking face, man.
Fuck.
So it was a little bit of a miss.
It's here. An experiment.
On my side, this is exactly what I was expecting. It just
I had high hopes for this one.
It just the sound wise, it's what I was expecting. I was just expecting better songs, obviously. Mm.
Is you were expecting like kind of a low, mm-hmm. lo-fi stuff?
I wasn't expecting like a pop punk kind of thing at all. So.
Yeah, I was when she announced that she was doing a solo album, I was thinking like, oh, this is going to be, you know, kind of poppy like the self-titled Paramore album. And
I was going Phoebe Bridgers, Julian Baker, that kind of scene.
Oh, you know why?
All the way.
It's because she's not a lesbian.
I mentioned that back in June.
Yeah.
Trailblazer.
A straight woman doing weird indie rock.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's not very good. She just needs to like, she just needs to fall in love with a woman and, or she might be bisexual. Who knows? I don't know anything about Haley.
She hung out with Julian Baker. Maybe there was some chemistry.
Baker. I think you need to show Haley Williams the way.
I bet a lot of songs.
That's very on
Sprained Ankle might be about Haley Williams for all I know.
That's very insensitive of me to say. I apologize. But yeah, Haley Williams, Pedal for Armor. It's weird. I struggle to find, even back when this came out, I struggled to find opinions, positive opinions about this. I think the open consensus about this one is that it's not for me.
Not for us. Maybe for the indie female community. That might be the only community that will get it. Testosterone. I mean, there's so much testosterone flowing through our podcast.
We're going to get to the testosterone-related shit in a bit.
I mean, Meg Myers can't hold us forever.
She was very on the nose about toxic masculinity.
Official visualizer for this song. Well, I might as well click on that one, right?
That one sounds interesting.
Okay. Well, this album, obviously, I was tepid for.
Number 6.
It ended up not being one of my favorite albums of the year. You did not listen to this because you don't have the history with this band.
Oh, okay.
But I do. Boy, do I. It was Change It Back.
Pearl Jam.
So 55 minutes, 7 minutes.
Gigaton.
Took me in a weird direction.
Did you say 55 minutes?
Something like that. It's almost an hour.
It looks like a Windows screensaver.
The first 5 tracks are good, and the last 8 really do trail off.
Mm-hmm.
This is somewhere in the middle of that. And I like the song Buckle Up never gets going. It stays here. And, you know, we could enjoy a good Eddie Vedder crooning back in the 90s. It's just not the same here in 2020. You know, and the song was written by Stone Gossard, who wrote some of the most incredible guitar licks on that Temple of the Dog album.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those guitar licks. So.
Well, I mean, it does sound like a little middle. Oh, speaking of Eddie Vedder performed this past Thursday at the Game Awards.
He's got some solo stuff.
There is a prominent, there's a prominent Pearl Jam song in the video game The Last of Us 2, which actually thematically talks about that game's themes of forgiveness and things like that. So Eddie Vedder, I assume, we got into our time machines and recorded this in the past. Yes. I assume, sung that song.
Yes, probably. So as you can hear, Matt Cameron killing it on the drums there.
Wow.
And the rest of Temple of the Dog just lightened shit up like crazy.
This is exactly what I remember from Temple of the Dog. Right? Energy, Adam.
I know. Everybody from Temple of the Dog is right here on this song, Mike. As you can hear, things have changed in 20 years.
Oh, my.
30 years. Oh, my God.
1991, Adam.
Those first 5 tracks are okay. But it doesn't... I didn't pick the song that had the bizarre 1850s pipe organ that Eddie Vedder plays, because I thought that this song summed up more of the band, where that song is just Eddie Vedder on an 1850s
pipe. Have Pearl Jam just kind of been going in this direction, like, recently?
Since 2009.
Yeah. They've just been doing, like, kind of radio slow rock now?
They would throw in several up-tempo songs. Mm. There's usually 3 to 4 to 5 up-tempo songs.
Like kind of grungy kind of stuff like that.
Just regular rock band stuff. Every band becomes Pearl Jam.
Eventually. It's the nightmare of...
But like, this was always... I mean, this song is what? 6 minutes long?
I can't see, yeah. It was 6:50, I think I saw.
And it never gets any... I would always just like lose it on this track. Like, oh my God, I can't do it. So go ahead, turn it off.
Yeah.
Moving on, Gigaton was not the album to save Pearl Jam's career.
Oh, well.
At this point.
Speaking of female...
Superblood Wolf Moon, great song.
Superblood Wolf Moon.
Don't forget about that. Dance of the Clairvoyants, where they all changed instruments.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you were talking about that when you reviewed it for the first time.
I didn't want to play like the highlights of that album, but there are a few.
Are we gonna revisit that in January?
We might. Ooh, it's yet to be determined, cool. But I gave that album a 5 out of 12.
Speaking of female lead singers,
yes,
who we're big fans of, one of my favorite pop artists was very busy this year. In a year where pretty much all of our musicians were out of work, boy, yes. Howdy, does she want to release a lot of stuff.
She stayed active.
One of which was a collaboration with another artist who goes by the name of I_O. Lights did a collaboration EP with I.O., and they called it AM444, the EP. There's like four tracks in it. This is the song Annihilation, the opening track on this EP. And it just kind of meanders, dude.
It seems to fit her vocal range well.
It does. It's a good collaboration as far as like his style of music with her vocals, mm-hmm. because she has that kind of ethereal type of like, it fits very well with like a lot of like overtures and a lot of layering and reverb.
It's four tracks and it's like 40 minutes long.
Yeah. it's for a really short EP, it's very dragging and boring. And it's super repetitive. Like they say the same thing over and over again. And I know that's a quality of a lot of electronic music. But I feel like we've moved past that. It's not 2001 anymore.
As a culture, and as a parent, I think we've moved past.
As a father, it just seems like this is like stuck in the past. And I don't know if they were going for that kind of like, flashback kind of thing, like kind of throwback to old school electronic music, like circa the early 2000s. Mm. But like, this just didn't work, man.
I could handle this for probably about 10 minutes.
I can handle this for like midway through the song, but then they do the same thing.
It just repeats.
It just repeats. And like musically, especially for such repetitive music like that, that grates on your senses. And I felt like this just didn't work. Mm-hmm. And for anytime Lights puts out something, music related, not comic book related, but anytime Lights puts out something, like I get super excited for it. I love Lights. I think she's one of the most underrated and unique artists working today.
Consistently in my top 20.
Consistently.
But not this year.
This is the first time I've ever been like really disappointed by like a Lights thing. So it's kind of a shame. But but she put out something that was good too. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Moderate.
Da-da. But whatever.
Well, moving back to...
we're on our bottom five.
Bottom five. So it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. I guess I can go over to iTunes for this one because this was one Mike sent to me. But there's not going to be too much
here's
to say.
Here's Brandon the Horizon. He finally...
of course.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it, folks.
I mean, there's not... too much to say here, but I just wanted to play this song, which is why I didn't just say let's move on. But this song kind of epitomizes the majority of this album.
What on earth?
Oh, you'll find out. You'll find out.
Oh, Hayley Williams.
Featuring Julian Baker.
Yeah.
We've talked about
Roses, Lotus, Violet, Iris.
Iris. I mean, that's all like names that you can name your female child.
Yeah. Either. Beautiful Roses. Flowers.
Beautiful. But I just want to play the verse and the chorus, and then you can turn it off.
Okay.
Because the song goes nowhere. I know you like it. I know you think the song is okay.
I think it's one of the strongest songs, but that's not saying much, you know?
Okay, yes.
But I mean, the bar is very low. The bar is at simmer.
I mean, I've heard Julian Baker belt out some awesome shit.
Yeah.
This ain't it. Where is she here?
This ain't it.
Here she comes.
It's like she rolled out of bed. She literally rolled out of bed and went on her phone like, roses, 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 roses.
Just,
Like, yeah, I don't know what Haley was going for with this
Haley,
album.
Haley, I used to be so attracted to you, but you want me to feature on your album? Roses, violets. I mean, I've literally heard this woman like belt out some of the most incredible music.
Most emotionally resonant music I've ever heard.
2015 was that Sabrina Nagle album. Roses. So I was excited to see that she was going to be on here, thinking like, this is going to be a great track. It's not a great track. But go ahead and turn it off, because we've already talked enough about Pedals for Armor by Haley Williams that, on retrospect, I gave it a 6 out of 15. 40%.
What do you think is the next Haley Williams project we're going to get? Haley Paramore? Williams or do you think...
In Space.
Whoa! The Space EP with Haley Williams!
Space Zombie EP.
Space Zombies! I love it!
I don't know. I feel like this would be a better avenue for her than Paramore. Like,
yeah, I think she's moved past Paramore at this part of her
Paramore
life.
Paramore is so 2007 for her. Mm-hmm. So it's like, feel free to keep doing this. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
No,
but for her as an artist, she seems to be much happier with this album than she ever was with Paramore.
I just want to know, like, who this album is for. Like, when she went into the writing process, other than her, like, who is this album for? Who is she trying to reach? And I think that would help me. I just want an understanding.
It's just her small circle of indie females who may or may not be bisexual.
Mm.
Like, she's writing just for her small group and working through her divorce. Mm. It's not going to affect you and me.
Yeah, there's a lot of like working through divorce songs in this album too.
We've never hung out with that many women at once.
I don't even know women.
So we're never going to get it. It's just outside of our realms.
Yeah. It might just be you're right. It might just be a case of like, this is just not written for us. Right. So we can't relate to it in any way.
I will still always love her, but just not that album.
Number five.
You Mayday do not like this EP.
One Mayday day Parade day. out of here. Yeah, that's it. Adam, what's your number five?
How could you even count that three-track EP? Doesn't help, Mike. Doesn't help. It's a pretty good EP, in my opinion.
I'm going to edit that, and there's going to be a little intro in there. Oh, you know? Okay. That's going to be a funny thing. Our listeners are going to laugh so much.
So much. And I will.
We're the funniest podcast to ever pod. I love patting myself on the back, Adam.
Let me check my list real quick. I forgot which song because I don't remember this album one bit.
That's why it's here, baby. Number four.
We just spend a couple of minutes talking about them. There's not too much to say. I'm going to just pick the title track from this album because this is metalcore. This was an album I had heard good things about from another podcast, and I ended up not enjoying this very much at all. There's some innovative pieces on it. They have a female singer. They throw in some keyboards. They're from Australia. That would be Make Them Suffer. The most edgy.
Oh, this is a female on my list. Female singer?
Not this part.
Oh.
They have a female singer as well as
their she's screamer. In the band?
She's in the band.
Oh, cool.
Singing the harmony, the, you know, melodic parts.
Oh, so Michael Jagman thing.
Yes.
Cool.
Because you listened to this album as well. I think
I did, I think. Fuck, did I?
See, she's kind of there in the back. She kind of just ethereally comes and goes.
I don't know if I did.
Okay, I thought you said you had.
Misery Signals is the one that I listened to.
Okay, I know you didn't care for it too much. I didn't care for it too much either. I liked 4 of the 10 tracks. There's not too much to say. Yeah, like metalcore, that's not going to blow you away. But if you really like metalcore, it might blow you away. But I guess it's just not my thing.
If you really like metalcore, then you should expect more from your genre. Come on.
Agreed. So go ahead and turn it off because there's not too much more to say.
How to Survive a Funeral.
That's the title track.
That's the edgiest title I've ever edged on. And well, I edge all the time, dude.
All the songs are like kind of the process of somebody dying and then going to their funeral.
Mm.
I forget some of the other names of the tracks.
Overpriced coffins.
Life insurance.
All right. Oh,
life insurance conversations with your aunt.
Oh, uncomfortable. And we're back. We're just taking a little bit of a lunch break, folks. Thank you for I'm gonna leave a whole like half hour gap.
You should.
Yeah.
But real quick, going back to talking about life insurance with your aunt.
That's very important subject.
Really important stuff. Mm-hmm. You guys should all like look
into it. We shouldn't make light of it. It's a very serious situation.
Making you don't want to make them suffer any more than you need to.
This country's already been through enough thanks to the selfishness and entitlement of many of the people of this country. But yeah.
Life insurance
with your aunt. Fucked my aunt. Moving on now to number four. I was really surprised by this artist. I think it was last year. He put out a solo album. And actually, you know what? Yeah, let's leave it like this. So I did some last minute moving around, but we're just going to leave it like this. And when I heard that he was releasing something new this year, I was like, oh, great. I love that album from last year. Apparently, this isn't what I signed up for. Apparently, what he's doing now, or what he released this year, was like the continuation of some sort of like very experimental, hardcore thing that's like he was doing in the past.
Yes.
This is Landon Tewers with AI 640 Part 3.
Well,
this is a mess, and I don't get it, and I wasn't there for the beginning, so this doesn't speak to me.
But you didn't even want to listen to the previous 8 tracks from the last 2 EPs?
Based on this, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
The Landon Tour is more like... listen to this.
That's great.
So
man,
good.
I'm feeling that. I mean, I listened to this, and I'm just like, man, this like can bring people together.
Woof, woof, woof. It's almost like bulldogish, you know?
A little bit. I know this was just... He was getting his metalcore stuff.
Yeah, apparently this is shutting the door on...
The end of it.
Yeah, he's shutting the door on the metalcore scene. You know, even Plot and You is going to kind of move in a more like progressive rock direction moving forward. Yeah, this isn't for me.
No.
It's not even... A lot of times when I say this isn't for me, it's like I can see why people like this, but it's not for me.
No.
This isn't for me, and I don't think it should be for anybody else. it's just I don't get it, and I don't know if you need you know, there's always that joke like oh, do I need to have listened to the, you know, to the last 900 something albums to get 9/11? You know, it's just the most like generic chugga chugga blah blah blah, the stuff that I've been railing against and trying to distance myself from for such a long time. I didn't find anything of value in like the 4 or whatever songs this EP is. Don't listen to it.
This and Mayday Parade, I mean, they're just so
they're so similar.
Equally bad.
They're equally bad in their own way. Equally immemorable in their own way.
Oh man,
that song is called Excrete.
Excrete. At least it wasn't excrete mint.
Excretions.
Where did I leave off? Oh yes. Okay. Well, this band, we've already talked a fair amount about them. We should probably just, I think after today, we may not talk about them very much into the future ever again. Because, I mean, I guess if you're trying to take a nap, you might want to listen to a little bit of things that rise and fall and sing about living in California. Never went past the county line, which means he's only stayed in San Diego County his entire life.
Mm.
Didn't bother to come to Riverside County. It's too frightening. We're only slightly north of San Diego.
Mm.
But Patrick Miranda, a.k.a. I Wish I Was Corey Wells.
Movements.
Of Movements.
Movements.
This might be one of the worst songs on this album.
Living Apology is what we're listening to now.
But let me look at the name again. Oh, No Good Left to Give is the name of this album.
It's a weird title, right?
Yeah.
It's not a title that screams, listen to me. Listen to this album.
And I know this band is just doing their own thing, and they're just like, we don't give a shit, and y'all can come along for the ride. We don't even know where Movements is going into the future with our creative aspirations. We're
Which
just
is ironic,
get together and make music and call it Movements.
Mm.
And I'm just like, cool. And again, all the elements are there. Good bass.
Yep.
He can sing really well.
He has a voice very comparable to Corey Wells.
But it really is flat and boring. And it took me a long time to figure out how many songs were good and how many songs were bad.
What did you settle on?
4 out of 11.
It's a lot higher than I would have thought.
I know. Yeah. But the last 2, a lot less than 4.
Yeah. You think you're done with this band?
Man, I don't think they're going to surprise me at this point.
Yeah.
Because they're getting so much positive feedback from this,
yeah,
so they're just going to go in this
direction.
That's
a shame, too, like, when you get that feedback loop of, like, oh, you're so good, I'm so good, and, like...
It spoke to me.
Yeah.
It saved my life.
You're just going to want to keep moving in that direction. It's like, well, whatever. Well,
so, I mean, I know they recorded this prior to pandemic, and their world was shifted.
I don't think a quarantine album was going to save them.
No. So it's like, I feel bad not supporting them, because they're struggling as much as the next moderate level tier band.
Exactly.
But this album just wasn't what I wanted it to be, I guess.
Yeah, unfortunate. It's an album that we were looking forward to, but it just kind of petered. Mm-hmm. You know, even Feel Something, you know, as many problems as we have with Feel Something, there was potential in there. There was memorable songs in there, and it was like I can't wait for them to refine the sound and, you know, just keep getting better as musicians. And this ain't it, Chief.
What we got? All right. Turn it off.
Goodbye, movements.
Change it back.
Change it back.
That one and Turgid Neville Gazing were one of the high points.
Laughter ratio, the laughter to talking ratio was only very high.
I know.
In those episodes.
I was telling Mike, I mean, I'll save this for the best of episode, but it's one of the strongest years for the Skinny with Mike Nat.
I agree. We just keep getting
talk about
better
on the best ofs. We'll save it. We'll save it.
Speaking of getting better and better, this band ain't.
Uh-oh.
All-time low with Wake Up Sunshine. You had a good point about fan bases enabling musicians when... I know it's not nice to be mean or anything, or to be like, oh, your new album sucked, you know? Right. I mean, like, I think Wake Up Sunshine sucks. I'm not going to pollute the all-time low social media pages and be like, you guys suck, you know? I'm not going to do that.
Have 2 good albums.
Yeah, so I'm not going to... I'm not encouraging that, but I'm just saying, like, I don't see where the praise is coming from. Is it just like, I've been a longtime fan of all-time low, and they're giving me exactly what I want?
It feels like it's a nostalgia act for kids who were teenagers during that time span, young adult, where like those early albums just connected somehow with them, where you and I watched them progress and get better into album 6 and 7.
Ooh.
And then it was like,
hey guys, this
but
one's for
our
long time.
That's not what their fans wanted to hear.
No, they
They're
wanted.
Like, you know what was great? 10th grade.
You know what sucked? Last Young Renegade.
You know what sucked? Being in my 20s. What was better? 10th grade.
10th grade, baby. You know, and it's such a shame because, like, there's other quote unquote nostalgia acts that are still out making music today. Census Fail is one of them. Mm-hmm. They just released a nostalgia album. Was it last year? I think it was.
The one you hated?
No. Well, the one I was disappointed in, but, like, I didn't hate it.
Oh, you mean Every Little Light I Shine? Or?
Every Little Light I Shine, yeah.
18?
18, yeah. So, whenever that was, like, that's a quote unquote nostalgia album, but they're not singing about shit they were singing about in 2002. 2004. Right. They've evolved as people, and they're reflecting that in the lyrics and the music and stuff like that. But it's still like it spoke, but it's still meant to speak to people who grew up with them.
Right.
That's what I want for these nostalgia acts. Like, don't just fucking like Alex Garth. Gaskarth is still singing like he's in fucking high school. He's talking about high school shit.
These guys are your age, right?
Yeah.
They're 34-ish.
Gaskarth is like my age. Yeah, he might be a little younger, but he's like my age.
Still early 30s.
And he's still talking, he's still trying to relate to the local teens at the skate park. Like, bro, grow up a little bit. Like you did in Last Young Renegade.
I don't know.
This stuff borders on cringe at this point. I expect this from
like this and the one that I played earlier.
Yeah, I expect this kind of shit from a young band in their 20s. Like this band's everybody in this band are in their 30s or our age, and they're like, you're still singing about this shit? Like, really?
I mean, Newfound Glory did the same thing. It's like they made some of their best albums, and they were like, oh god, we should probably go back because I'm too scared of where I can go with this.
Exactly. It reeks of just fame chasing, and I hate it. Ugh.
I guess so.
It's going to take a lot for me to listen to All Time Low once again.
Well, let me check which track I decided to choose for this one. I'm pretty sure it's a bad song. I'm pretty sure. I mean, there's a lot of bad songs on this album.
I will put money on the fact that this is a bad song.
So I was trying to find the worst song for this album to really represent what it means. Not just how bad it is, but also, dare I say, the disappointment. The disappointment that hurts me.
Oh, no.
To my core when I listen to something like this.
Mm. Everybody hates you.
Why? Oh,
everybody loves you once you leave them.
If you got the song is really dumb. And at the beginning, he lights up a cigarette, takes a drag. No.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
Speaking of fame chasing.
That's not cool, Mike.
Yeah, speaking of fame chasing, fuck. This is the most reductive, like, regressionary. This is the worst chorus. This is the most formulaic, reductionist album to come out in 2020 from a band that is so much capable of more. And they showed us, even though Misery wasn't a home run, right, there were so many good ideas in there that made my imagination go crazy about, like, where did this band go in the future? They've done the metalcore screamo thing, and they rocked at it. They fucking kicked ass at it. You don't need to prove to us that you can do it poorly, apparently. Like, so what? Who's this album for, Adam?
I don't know.
Their first non-number one album to hit in a while.
This is the only one to go to number two?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Misery was a number two album.
That was the number one. We showed people liked it, so they still supported them in Misery. Where did that fear come from? Did they just listen into Trolls and be like, Misery sucks, bro?
I guess so. They were ready to finally make a heavy album.
This album is the exact reason why I wrote that letter last year. This shit and
even before
All-Time
it came
low.
Out.
Well, I mean, it's for shit like this. Is it done already? Oh my god. Nope.
Oh no.
Nope. Like this album, it just keeps going.
Now, there are sprinkled in elements. There'll be a good verse here, a good bridge there. Very few and far between. I opted to not play A Loneliness because I'm pretty sure that's what you're going to play in a minute.
You're right. But
man.
You got it,
so,
baby.
I had to pick the one where I was just like, I didn't play Soak Me in Bleach.
Soak Me in Cleaning Supplies.
That song's not as bad as this one. So I decided to
They're
choose
pretty
this
bad.
One.
I know. But this is a bad song, too.
Soak me
in Clorox.
And like I said, back in February, March, whatever, if I was Aaron and I'm hearing the crowd say that back to me, I would feel like shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear people say that. Soak me! Soak me! That's
then I'd be like, oh my god, I did this.
Why did I write this? Good thing we're not going on tour anytime.
Actually, isn't it Joel the primary songwriter? I think I keep reading that or hearing that in interviews.
So maybe that's why he did it. He's like, I want Aaron to hate this.
I don't want people to hate Aaron.
All right, turn it off.
It's
turn
already off. What did we do? We got a little bit more to talk
listen
about
to
them.
The next album. I'm going to
I mean,
to really
it's,
think
it's,
about
it. Really seems like they are too afraid to evolve. If this album is any indication, if they release a new single for a new album in 2022 and it's weird and cool, I will give them one more chance.
Yes.
But my patience has run out for one of my favorite bands who released some of my favorite albums, The Amity Affliction.
Of 2014.
2014, right.
How far the previous decades have fallen.
The mighty have fallen, Adam. I don't know if you're familiar with this next band. The scene seems to be putting this band on a pedestal. And they were like, "Oh, this is the next big thing in metalcore. They're gonna take over." So I was like, "Oh, well,
that probably are."
That piques my interest, and I checked it out. So my number two album, worst album of the year, is "A Quiet Place to Die" by Alpha Wolf.
Whoa,
intense shit. You know, I don't dislike this album because it's intense. I love me some intense shit.
Yes,
but this is the most try hard. Like, we're fucking tough, you know. It's like they're really trying to pull that like tough guy Affliction t-shirt, lifted truck, Red State Music Festival fucking like horseshit, and it's so fucking formulaic. I know exactly when the chorus is coming. I know exactly what they're gonna do with the bridge. I know exactly what song's gonna come out after this. Oh, this is when the bad boy with the heart of gold song's gonna come on. And it's
sure.
It's okay. Sure. Yeah, I got it.
Never
it's like
heard
this,
of this.
These are the. This is the next big thing in the scene. Like, I don't get it, dude. Maybe this is like old man Mike talking, but like, man, Rettlecore is in a bad place.
Is this a newer band as well?
Apparently this is like their second album.
Second album.
Yeah. Okay. But they've been around a little while.
I imagine their first album got them quite some buzz.
I think they had some buzz. Of course, I didn't go listen to it. I do not like this album at all.
If it sounded like this, I'd be very surprised. But
yeah.
I haven't sat down and, you know, absorbed it yet. Sounds like Straight from the Path.
It's a little Straight from the Pathy, yeah. They're doing the hardcore punk.
But a lot of people like that band for some reason.
They're hit or miss, you know?
They are.
But they have a political message. I think that's what people are. I think that's why people are like.
P-I-G.
Like them, you know? P I G. I don't want to P I G.
So, no, I've never even heard of Alpha Wolf before. So
you know what? It might. I'm not going to say it. It's my second worst album of the year. It might be worth giving it one listen just to kind of see. Maybe you can see what all the hubbub's all about.
What's going on with this album art here?
I think it's like a fallen angel being surrounded by like blue butterflies. Excuse me.
From this distance, it just looks like a tree is falling down.
It's a little tree. I mean, I like this album.
It's a little tree hard.
I like this album. It's very, you know, it's very try hard. But
burn.
Yeah, dude, I don't get it.
I don't get it. What's to get?
I'm an old man.
This whole episode is about
not getting things.
Yeah.
And maybe we're just getting too out of it.
I thought I figured you out, Adam Gordon. I thought I figured out what your number one worst album of the year is. Now I'm struggling to figure out what
it
could be.
It's okay, because it was an album that you were not going to listen to.
Oh, okay.
You
made it well known to me
early in the year that you were not going to listen to it.
I said,
Mike,
Mrs.
show me
Fortune.
The proof.
Show me the proof.
Show me the proof. And then you showed me the proof, and I was just like, yeah, whatever. I can take this for what it's worth. I'm still going to separate the art from the artist.
Mm.
And this album, he thinks it's the greatest thing in the entire world. There's apparently a concept that I never quite picked up on.
Mm.
And this song is just about something. I don't know, but it's called "Do It for the Gram" by Miss Fortune, off the album self-titled Miss Fortune.
Mm-hmm. Miss Fortune by Mikey Sawyer's Ego.
Now, Mikey Sawyer and me go way back to 2014, where
like this.
I fell in
I'm
love
crossing
with
my fingers. You're like this.
Number three album of 2014. Not to mention my, you know, Amity Affliction was right there in 2014.
They were right there. We were hyped.
I don't know what's going on here, because like I listened to this album and nothing jumps out to me like the whole way through.
Is it just like low effort? Just like, hey, this is
there's effort
for my fans.
There's effort.
Hmm.
I mean,
more but less effort than the Amity Affliction?
Yes, even less.
Okay.
I could put it that way. I was going to play the track My Father's Son, which is a bizarre instrumental track that sounds like it was made on a Casio keyboard.
Okay.
But I opted to do It for the Gram because it's so stupid. I could never listen to this and just be like, yeah, this song fucking rules. Like, no. Like,
it's about inflating your ego?
It's about somebody doing something just to be on Instagram, I guess.
Mm, and, like, you know, Mikey Sawyer.
Like, exactly.
Nice.
So it's his "You All Are the Problem" I'm just
I'm so great.
If you guys just
I can sexually harass anyone I want. I'm so famous.
And, you know,
look
five,
me up.
5 out of 60 things.
I want to know what a 17-year-old tastes like.
He said 18, I think.
Did he say 18? Yeah. I think he said teenage age.
Like I said, there's only about 5 of those 60 things that you sent me that were damning.
But they show a consistent behavioral pattern.
For some people, yes.
For this guy, yes.
I was impressed by how poor this was. Mm. And then it gets heavy for no reason.
Because he's a bad boy, Adam. He's so bad.
And to follow that up with a less than stellar EP that was kind of more of a reimagining with a few new songs.
Yeah, that's
on
that one you're talking about, the acoustic one.
It was just like, man, I feel like this band is going off on a bad place. I know, like,
of
it's
course.
All.
I was telling you that like a long time ago.
I know it's all new. I'm saying artistically. I'm not saying personally.
No, I know that. Even artistically, I was telling you, like, man, this is the direction like I thought they were gonna go.
So I don't know where it's gonna go from here, but this was a step in the wrong direction. Mm. And even though I listened to it in April. Things were not good. It's still not good now. I don't recommend it to anyone.
Well, this makes sense. I was wondering what could beat Amity Affliction. Right. I guess it's an album I haven't even heard.
I gave this album a 3 out of 11.
Okay.
Which is the same as the Amity Affliction album. But I had to put this one at the bottom. Because it's not fun to listen to at all. At least I can enjoy the beginning.
Soak me in cleaning supplies.
I can enjoy the first 2 tracks of Amity Affliction. And then it's all boop. Track 7 I really like, but that's
which it. One's track 7?
I think it's called Forever.
Is that a slow song?
No, it's a heavy song. It has a good chorus. And you wouldn't know it either because you don't pay attention to your worst album of the year. So play it, Mike. Play Forever by Amity Affliction right now and tell me why it's terrible.
Well, I'm not going to play Forever. You already said what song I'm going to play because how else could I play? What else could I play besides...
You start the match, I'll strike the fire. Wait. This is like your favorite song back in March.
I loved it.
You sang it.
Loved making
fun
of the song.
All month.
It's my friend.
It's the match, I start the fire. You tie the knot, I'll start the fire.
Snapcore.
This is the one with all the fuzzy math in it.
Yeah.
It was like, and I swear, I'll give you 15 more, but 15 years can't be like 15 more days. And if 15 years go by, then 15 months will be great.
Bro, he rhyming 15 with 15.
And then Joel did such a good job singing on Misery.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, this album is just a huge misfire for such a band that had such a huge path ahead. Like, so many roads were open to them a few years ago, and like, this is where they ended up. Oh my god.
If you take out the background vocals, this could be okay.
It's the foreground vocals that I have a problem with. If they just made like the snapcore, like he's on that, like if that was the chorus, I'd be like, okay, fine, whatever, it's just repetitive. It's just it's here that it overture.
Forgotten 15 years. I promise. 50 more to you.
That's 30 years.
15 hours a day. I don't know what he's talking about there.
It's very flimsy math, buddy.
He's going to work for 15 hours, 15 years a day, for 15 hours in the past. I mean, 15 years in the past.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about there, Joel. Not a good album.
I'll pass on it. I'm so close to letting them go.
Yeah, they have to do something out of the box and weird going forward for me to pay attention anymore. I'm just gonna have the albums that I love and keep them close to my heart, and the rest of it can go.
Now I feel like I need to go back and listen to the old ones to see if I like them that much. Like, this like shook my core.
I did listen to Let the Ocean Take Me sometime earlier in the year.
Yes.
After I hated this one so much.
You re-evaluated them when we did our Decade in Review last year.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It still holds up.
I know.
It's just a fantastic album.
It's not as high in your top 10 as it was.
But. Right. And I say that with no cynicism at all. And I think it's a great album.
Yes.
But my goodness, this one's just not there.
I know.
I guess I'll
stick with the first 4.
Yeah. Do you want to go over a fan list really quick?
Sure. What does that mean?
You know, talking about, you know, we're talking about a lot of disappointing albums this year. One of our listeners, Dave, sent us his list of his top five most disappointing things to come out of 2020.
Things, not just albums.
Not just albums. I thought it was a top five or bottom five albums list, but this is what he has to say. Number five, just the final track, Bring Me the Horizon, Posthuman.
Right.
Okay, so I love the Bring Me the Horizon album. Love it. However, the final track is the most fat girl song I've ever heard. It's so bad, I erased it after my second listen and completely forgot it was on the album. Oh, it hurts Bring Me the Horizon on the album's list, honestly. Like, why? Why is she featured on the track? So many talented females to feature that are relevant in 2020. Amy Lee Williams. Really? From 2002? For fuck's sake. Needless to say, he's not Mike a big fan of Amy Lee.
Mike and I disagree with that statement. I agree with Amy Lee not being like my favorite fat girl artist in the world, but I thought that song was just fine.
I thought that song was beautiful, and I love that Aldi got to work with one of his heroes. That's the whole point of the song. And I tried to, you know,
amazing.
Yeah, and I gave him my like, you know, my in defense of that song, but you know, it's fine. Number four. This is a hot take. Architects, the band as a whole. So this band is apparently the Bring Me the Horizon of Australia. And honestly, it's the most overhyped band maybe of all time. Especially being from Australia, why are there so where so many big great bands are from? Please, have you listened to their single Animals? Holy fuck, I may be a dad now, but that went full dad butt rock. I'm crossing this band off my memory. Poof, gone.
Damn.
Now that's a hot take, because I am loving their new direction.
I only did that for their first three albums.
Right. And to be fair, like, where he is now with Architects is where and I
by
was.
By the way, they're a British band. They're not.
Right, they're not from Australia. You're right.
Australia. I mean, they're not criminals, Dave.
Yet.
They're loyal subjects to the Queen of England.
But, yeah, I mean, like, maybe their new stuff does fall under the butt rock umbrella. But they inject enough of their own flavor and their own style to at least make it interesting. And I'm super excited for their new album. Sorry, Dave. Number three.
And I am too, based on Mike's optimism. But now I'm not because of Dave's. I haven't heard it at all.
You should listen to Animal
and
figure out for yourself.
No! I'll wait until March or whenever the hell it comes out.
Number three. Apparently, Dave thought this was a spicy take, but... No, we agree with him on this one. So, Silverstein shit the bed.
Oh.
Poop all the way down their socks. Infinite could arguably be the worst song of the year for me. I know you enjoy that song.
I like that song. It's fine. It
bothers me so much because Dead Reflection was so good.
Yep.
I 1,000,000% agree with that statement. Number two, Movements.
Oh.
This band had our hearts with that EP. Like we mentioned time and time and again, they had their sound. It was unique, aggressive, but so passionate. Now this album, which I can't even think of the name because of how forgettable it is. This band canceled themselves. They no longer are good at making music. Poetry, maybe, but this album, man, is so forgettable. It's so forgettable, I think I have memory loss.
I think it's called No Love Left.
Feel Something?
Indoors. I think that's what it's called.
And
Feel My Outgrown... Love.
Dave's number one most disappointing thing of 2020. What the fuck is A Day to Remember doing?
Oh, man.
They have released multiple garbage scrap singles over a year and a half, all boring, formulaic, and throw all of them on this album that's apparently so great that they just had to be postponed so many times. What? ADTR. You are a cum stain. You are not kings of all musical talents. To be honest, you made one or two good albums for their time.
Oh.
Thank you. I agree with that statement very much.
No. I tried listening to that new single, and I made it about halfway through. I was like,
it's not great, man.
I'm not going to bother here.
They have forever tarnished their name in our scene memories. Brick Wall could have been written by my daughter in her sleep.
Oh.
Keep in mind, his daughter's like three.
Two.
Or one of his daughters. Two. Three. I don't know.
He has so many daughters.
I don't even know what time is anymore. Move over, Infinite. There's a new shit show of a song in town. Brick Wall, you win. You were the most smegma-like of them all. Dave loves his penis comparisons.
Nice job, Dave.
Thank you, Dave, for that. And yeah, let's have him. So
we're kind of there with you, except on that Architects thing. But
yeah, let's see what happens with Architects. I know they. Mm-hmm. I know technically they are quote unquote dad butt rock now, but like I think they're doing it in a very interesting way.
Yes.
You obviously can't agree with that statement because you haven't heard.
I'm not even going to bother because why listen to a song outside of its album?
2021, here we come.
So much coming in the new year.
I love it.
Ready?
Are you ready?
Frank Iero and the Patience.
Which is secretly a front for the new My Chemical Romance album. Call me out on it.
Let's just move on, Mike. Let's move on from the worst.
Let's get out of here, Adam. Let's get out of here.
We'll be ready for you all next week.
Sorry, folks. I hope that you at least enjoyed, you know, the fun of this week's episode. Definitely want to hear what your worst of albums of the year. You don't have to go all 10 if you want. Like, what's your worst song of the year? What's your worst album of the year? And we'll have a discussion.
Yes.
If it's something that we both really like, I don't know, make us mad.
But
we'll figure it out. But we hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Next week is the big one. Next week, we're going to be the most impassioned. We're going to be talking about our top 10 albums of 2020. I'm sure a handful of you can figure out a good handful of them already. But, I mean, Adam's already thrown out Dance Gavin Dance, so what else has he got?
What else you got?
I know. There's got to be 10 more albums out there somewhere besides Dance Gavin Dance. It's
them, Razzmatazz. I mean,
You throw out Enter Shikari as well, too, man.
Enter Shikari's dead.
But I've
top 20.
Of the albums that I know. We'll be talking about together. I really want to know where you're going to be ranking them. This is going to be fun. So tune in, folks, to next week's episode. We'll be talking about the top 10 albums of 2020. What a fucking poor year this was.
Dumpster fire.
But we're going to end on a strong note, folks. For my co-host, Adam, I'm your co-host, Mike. And yeah, just tune in next week. What are you waiting for? Fast forward.
I know. I hope you waited and you don't have to wait a whole other week.
Yeah, I know. Like, you just skip this one. Right. Then you listen to this one and then the next one on the same episode.
Listen to this episode in January like I will.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. See ya, folks.